Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Auto Central, South Africa's number one motoring podcast. My name is George Mini, and as usual, joined by none other than Wandile Sishi. How's it, Wandi?
In the house. Not too bad. I just got my second jab. You asked the other week. So, yeah, I'm fully vaccinated now.
Is it my imagination, or is the vaccine giving you an American accent?
That's just my voice. I think that's how I've always spoken.
I've heard the word asked. Asked.
That's
asked, which is a southerner accent. I don't know, this vaccine's doing weird things.
No, that's just me. That's just me still.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad, and it's really nice to be back in the studio. But this is our makeshift studio because our other one is having some work done to it.
Yeah, some cosmetic work
done to it. And then we'll be back there shortly, hopefully the next show.
Yeah, we'll see. Mm. I know there's in the next coming shows, there's a few interesting things I'll be doing. So, yeah, stay tuned.
I don't know about these. That sounds exciting.
It's a surprise.
I can't wait. All right. Well, this show we're coining the parts episode, and one of the most frequently requested or frequently asked questions that we get is around car parts.
Yeah.
Many people ask us, you know, do you sell car parts? Where can I find car parts? Can I go and search for car parts? And you know, the short answer is no. Auto Trader doesn't sell or make available for sale car parts on the platform. But we do get the question every so often. And so today we're going to try and answer some questions around the pricing of car parts, especially relative to the top, or should I say the different segments of vehicles in the country. And then next we'll be joined by none other than our expert journalist, Chad Lakoff, to unpack or review the 2021 Volvo XC40. I love Volvo. This was car of the year at one point, not the XC40, the XC90. XC90 was car of the year, which is nice. And then I think it was beaten by the Jaguar I-Pace, yeah? Or should I say, no, not beaten. Beaten's the wrong word. It was the next round, the next year. The Jaguar I-Pace won. And then lastly, we'll be answering some of your motoring-related questions from our Ask Auto Trader platform. So, the parts episode, Wandi. Which cars carry the most expensive parts? But let me first ask you, do you fix your own car?
I do not fix my own car. And I have a love-hate relationship with the idea of repairing my car. Uh-huh. I recently just changed my brakes, like yesterday even.
How often do you open your bonnet?
Only when I see smoke, and I just open it and I go, oh, there's an engine. And then
how
I
many
close
times
it
have you seen smoke?
just once or twice. Okay. Once or twice, yeah. But it was my fault. It was my fault that time. I wouldn't say what happened, but it was a driver error.
Just a driver error. Okay.
What about you? I know you have an EV, so parts, I'm assuming, is not something that you worry about anymore.
No, not as much, no. But, I mean, I haven't worried about car parts for a long time because I've, you know, fortunately driven cars that have had warranties and service plans. But when I was much younger.
You could fix your own car, I believe.
Well, I'll tell you the backstory.
Yeah.
Okay. Very quickly, before we get into the show itself, I'll tell you the backstory. I mean, people my age, I mean, my mid to late 40s, okay, people my age, when they were 16,
yeah,
okay, had what we called popcorn machines.
What's a popcorn machine?
You don't know what a popcorn?
Well, I know what
a anybody that had a popcorn machine, please mention in the comments which popcorn machine you had.
Is it like a literal popcorn?
No.
No,
it's not a popcorn machine. It was a motorcycle.
Okay.
Okay. But it was a 50cc motorcycle. So back in those years, if you were 16, you could get a motorcycle license for a motorcycle up to, I think it was 80cc's.
Okay.
And manufacturers brought in 50cc motorcycles, which literally were underpowered.
Yeah.
We used to go to school with them.
Mm.
And my parents scraped together some money to buy me an MBX 50. Anybody that is of my era will remember the MBX 50. You either rode an MBX 50 or a YZ 50.
And these are the 50cc popcorn machines.
They were called popcorn machines because they were like,
no power, yeah.
It was like a mosquito. It was no, literally, you had to like hide behind the fairing in order
to slipstream
a little bit to get to. I think my, like I got like maximum was like 80-100 km/h
yeah.
at the most.
Yeah, that's still fast though.
It was quick on a little motorbike like that. But anyway, so that was my first experience with
having to fix
mechanical things, okay. right? Because my 50cc broke.
A lot, I'm assuming.
No, it didn't break a lot, but it broke once. Okay. And I couldn't understand what was wrong. So I took the entire bike apart.
Yeah.
Pistons, conrods. I took the whole thing apart.
Did you know what you were doing then, or you were just kind of trial and error?
I was reading and okay. I was figuring it out as I went along.
Yeah.
Took the whole thing apart. Figured out that my rings had broken.
Okay.
Okay. So a piston's got rings around it that seal into the cylinder, and so that when the piston moves up and down, oil doesn't come from the crankshaft, and the fuel doesn't go through the top. Okay. So I took the whole thing apart, and I figured out the rings were broken. There was a big scratch on the ball of the engine, and I mean it's a single piston 50cc engine. So so I took the block out. And then I was a little bit excited because what people were doing was you sent this little block away and you had it re-sleeved, okay? But what you could do was you could turn it into an 80cc motorcycle.
By adding a turbo and some
nitrous. No. by literally making the ball wider and putting a bigger piston in.
Okay.
So you can turn it into an 80cc. Yeah. So I was like, yes, I'm going to be having I'm going to have the fastest Honda. In the stable at school because we couldn't beat the YZR50s.
Yeah. Those were 80cc's, I'm assuming.
No, they were 50cc's, but they were quick.
Okay.
They were quicker than the Honda MBXs. And I had a Honda MBX, but I thought the Honda MBX looked nicer. It's got it had full fairing and it just looked sexier.
But if you get it to 80cc's, then
I could get it 80cc's, I could take on the YZR50s. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, I sent this thing away, brought it back, got the new piston, new rings, and I put it back together and it freaking worked.
And were you faster than everybody else?
Kept up and was able to pass the YZR50s. Not like blisteringly fast, but like you'd like go full taps at 70 km/h and you get.
And you're just there now, yeah.
You can imagine.
So that was like your first
like
experience.
Like a Mr. Bean experience. Anyway, so that was my start. And then very quickly, one of my first cars was a Passat.
Mm.
Old Passat.
Volkswagen.
VW Passat, yeah. And I bought this car from somebody who didn't tell me that the thing was buggered.
Mm.
And when I turned corners, the oil would go into the intake air filter and then spill into the carburetor, and I would have this plume of white smoke coming up the back.
In the days of carburetors.
In the days of carburetors. And also, what would happen, the car would like want to die because the oil was spilling into the carburetor. Yeah. Anyway, so then I decided, because now I'd like a little bit of experience with my little 50cc, I'm taking this engine apart. I took the entire engine apart in my dad's garage.
Jeez. I mean, that's a lot more parts than, the Yamaha.
That's where I learned about what cars are about. So I took the engine apart. Took it apart and then I'm going to end the story so we can get to the show, but one of the rings again were broken.
Mm.
So
did you have some experience this time?
I had some experience. This time I didn't re-sleeve because it's a four-cylinder. It's going to be expensive. Yeah. So I got what was called a honing tool.
Is this legal? Are we allowed to talk
legal.
About it?
Absolutely legal. I got a honing tool, which if you look at a honing tool, you put it on the end of a drill, right?
Yeah.
And you've got three what was like stones.
Yeah.
Okay. But the stones were like sandpaper. But they were very, very fine. So you imagine very fine sandpaper, okay? But these three stones, and they had springs on them. So the three, on the honing tool, the three things came out.
Okay.
You put it inside the cylinder. Now there's a scratch on the side of the cylinder where the ring is broken and it scratched the side and it has to seal with the rings.
So what did you do? Just sand?
So all you do is it goes very lightly into the cylinder and you push the drill and it spins.
Okay.
And you hone the inside of the sleeve. And it smooths out that scratch.
So it's kind of level throughout.
So it's smooth around. And then new set of rings, put the rings in, put the pistons back.
And it worked?
It worked. I sold the car straight away. Sold the car. Got a Golf. That was ever my Golf. Anyway, let's get to the show because I think it's probably boring for everyone. Warranties and service plans obviously expire. I mean, in those years,
that
car that I bought had no warranty or service plan. I'd do everything myself. And car parts can be pricey if you're outside of a warranty. And, motoring journalist Malcolm Kinsey passed away earlier this year. And, our condolences to his family. But he kept motorists informed about parts prices in the annual Kinsey report.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. But in his absence, fortunately, the AA has decided to take on this challenge. And the 11 different vehicle categories have been ranked, from entry level to family SUVs and even electric cars. And the results. We're going to go through some of the results. Let's start with entry level.
Yeah.
In this category, the Datsun Go has emerged as the electric. Datsun Go is not an electric vehicle. Come on, as the vehicle with the cheapest parts basket, R74,000.
So I think it's important to understand what's entry level. So this is the Datsun Go, Hyundai Atos, the Picanto, the Kwid, Suzuki Swift,
entry level.
The iGo. This is very entry level cars.
100%. Very entry level car. R74,000 for the parts basket.
Yeah.
Okay, so basket of parts. Doesn't mean that it's going to, all those parts are going to break on the car, but it's
if
really
to
just
get everything replaced.
If you had to get everything replaced in that parts basket. And I think
that's a fairly good price. I
depends on what breaks, I suppose. But 40%, it's 40% of the list price of the car. I don't know if that's relevant. You know.
Why not? Because I think you could almost look. Two car parts are not going to be the same from vehicle to vehicle. Some might be better and others worse in terms of the performance of them. So fair, you can't really measure those two together. But if you're in the market for
air filter versus air filter,
you can't do that.
Why?
If it's two different air filters, I think there's different quality.
Different brands, yes.
Yeah, and quality of those brands.
But isn't this basket based on parts from the manufacturer?
I would assume so.
I would assume so too.
Yeah. But if it's different manufacturers who give off different quality, I think that's where you can't really measure. But if you're in the market for that, I think the listing price or the percentage of the listing price should be
okay. All right.
A relative thing to.
I'll take that one. But R74,000 is the total parts basket price here, and 40% of the list price. And and then very closely followed by the Suzuki's. The Suzuki Swift and then the Renault Kwid at 43% of the value of the car versus 46% of the value of the car. Mm. The most expensive parts basket belonged to the Kia Picanto at R107,000, over 50% of the price of the car.
Mm. So it seems like parts would be around 50% when it comes to entry-level cars. Versus the total listing price of the vehicle.
Yes. So that was parts, and then maintenance. So there's maintenance parts, which is air filter, oil filter, those kinds of parts. The Toyota Agya. I don't know where the Agya. Agya. The Toyota Agya was actually the cheapest at R10,800. 6% of the list price of the car, and then the Kia again. Came in as the most expensive at 10%, R19,000, almost double the Toyota. I'm impressed with this little Toyota Agya, in terms of its price. It's a Toyota.
I agree. It's probably really reliable.
I think it's R165,000 or R185,000.
Just about, yeah. So I think what we can do to find out is see, how the car's reviewed. I'm sure we have a list of.
Yeah. Go and have a look. See.
Yeah.
And then from entry-level vehicles to budget vehicles, the Ford Figo 1.5 Titanium wins the category at R53,000 for parts, 20% of the purchase price.
Okay, that's a lot better. It's not necessarily almost half the price now.
Yeah, but this is where I don't know if this 20% is relevant, because the price of the car goes up.
Yeah.
But the price of the parts shouldn't go up relative.
Exactly. That's what we're seeing here.
It should actually come down. Yes, it's 21%. So
that's kind of your argument of why you shouldn't use that as a base.
I don't know. I don't know if it's relevant. And I mean, it might have. It's obviously got a place. This was significantly cheaper than other contenders, which included the VW Polo at 31% of list price and the Suzuki Vitara Brezza at 40% of list price. So budget vehicles. It looks like besides the Figo, you're also looking at 30, 40%.
30, 40%, yeah.
in terms of budget vehicles. A compact family cars, Mazda CX-3 is the car we're talking about here. What do you think it came in at?
In terms of percentage or in terms of total price?
Both.
Percentage, just by following the trend, I'd say around, if it's cheapest, I'd say 35%.
33, almost price. Spot on the button. Yes, okay. 33%. 131,000 Rand for the parts basket.
Yeah.
And then the Haval at 35% and the Hyundai Venue at 37% of the price of the car.
In your opinion, what would this sort of tell you as a motor, as somebody who's looking for a car? Would this just give you an idea of what to expect to pay when you have to replace your parts?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. Like, this is the entire parts basket, right? Mm-hmm. Those things aren't going to break.
Yeah. All at once, at least.
All at once, at least. Yeah. But maybe if you factor that in over the lifetime of the car, could be you're always going to come in under this number because not everything's going to break.
Agreed.
You know, the service parts, different story. So, you know, we looked at the service parts of the, or should I say maintenance parts of the Figo, which was 8,700 Rand.
Mm.
So the maintenance parts definitely factor in. So this report is really good in terms of specifically maintenance, because you're going to have to service the car at least, I think, once a year.
Yeah. I think long-term ownership, this is where this kind of helps in terms of what you'll be.
Yes. So this report's really good, for that perspective.
Agreed.
What worries me is increasing price of the car, increasing parts basket price.
But we're seeing here that that's not the case.
No, in the top cars, yes. But in the second, third, fourth level cars, we're still getting to 40%.
Yes. I mean, that kind of tells you just how, you know, you think with any car, they're going to add a huge premium to the vehicle, which is not the case with entry level. They actually are, the OEMs at least are trying to meet you halfway.
Exactly.
Which makes sense.
Which makes absolute sense. Family SUV, Honda CR-V. I love this car, actually. It's Honda CR-V.
Never been a fan. Never.
Loved Honda. And I think it's because I drove the Honda Ballard,
yeah.
160E at one point.
I remember you saying.
Never opened up the engine. Ever. That was that. I think it was on that, because I
never opened because it always worked, or never opened because
it always worked. Okay. And I think from then on, I never touched an engine again.
Okay.
Because my VW Passat opened that engine fully.
Yeah.
I had a BMW Shadowline.
Always opened the engine.
No. Pulled the gearbox out of that thing myself.
Okay.
It was on stilts, literally on stilts. Yeah.
And how did you do that? Did you like underneath the car?
Underneath the car, I had to get my dad to help me. You know, we had to have it like, you know, remember one of those like trolley jacks? Trolley jacks and like a board.
Yeah.
Because you can't lower that gearbox. Yeah, no. It's too heavy.
And also there's things around it.
Take the prop shaft off.
Why did you have to take the gearbox out? Out of curiosity.
The one gear was grinding and I didn't know what was wrong. And it wouldn't, eventually it wouldn't go into second or something. Anyway, we digress. Executive SUV, Alfa Romeo Stelvio seems to be the cheapest at 179,000 Rand for the parts basket, 21% of retail price.
That actually surprised me a little bit. I know Alfa has a history of parts being kind of expensive. So I'm glad that that's not the case anymore. They've definitely turned down their reputation.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a case of you'd replace the parts a number of times, so it could be expensive even if it was cheap.
Yeah, but to be fair, everything in this kind of bracket are super, super premium cars anyway, so you'd expect some sort of, you know.
Well, the Hyundai Santa Fe at 40% of list price is now where we get back up to the 40% range. You know, the E-Pace at 30%, and then Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz, I don't think has ever been expensive for parts. I used to drive a C-Class, and I found their parts prices actually very good.
Relative to
other cars I've driven. BMW was expensive. You know, VW was not expensive.
Yeah.
The Passat was expensive, but my Golf wasn't. So, so luxury SUV, Land Rover Defender.
I'm a fan of these cars, like with all my heart.
He's not. However, Fortuna drivers.
This past weekend, I was in the Kruger, and we were going with the Land Rover Defender, and it broke down.
Don't tell my friends that.
Yeah, no, I just thought about Martin the whole time.
So so a parts basket for the Defender is 336,000 rand. That's an entire car for, at 23% of purchase price. And then again, you get up to almost the 40s with the Mercedes-Benz GLE 300 at 35%. Mm. Then we got the Adventure 4x4s, which wins the category at the, with the Ford Everest 2-litre bi-turbo at 117,000 rand and 15% of list price. That's very surprised there with a turbocharged car.
Yeah, that's really, really impressive.
Yeah. Then is the next up is the Toyota Fortuner, 16% parts basket versus list price. And
do you think supply has a huge sort of impact on these pricings?
I think volume of sales of the vehicles probably impact. So you know you can see Toyota Fortuner high volume seller, 16% of list price.
Okay.
Isuzu Bucky, look at the Jeep Cherokee. Not high volume sales, 42% of list price.
Makes sense.
So there could be something in that. Mm. There could be something in that. And then single cab Buckies, Isuzu D-Max comes in at the cheapest at 22%, 79,000 rand past basket. I thought it would be more.
Me too. But these are Buckies. You would assume that they, as a whole, are a bit lower.
Cost effective, especially single cabs, I suppose. Mm. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to note that this is kind of, if you're going to be buying a car, you must factor in a worst case scenario, that you'd be paying 40% if you had to go and replace everything.
If you had to replace all the parts, yes.
And that's just given it's, you know, the car's not like a write-off or anything like that.
Mm. No, that's not some serious like fenders and bonnets and stuff.
So I think it's, you know, it's something to definitely note and something that you should go and look into.
Well, I had to replace my windscreen on my Jaguar I-Pace not long after I got the car.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was like an arm and a leg.
30,000 rand windscreen.
Yeah.
I was so thankful for insurance.
What's that, like 2%?
Like that, and it's, and you know my windscreen, RFID tags won't work through my windscreen.
What do you mean? Like an e-toll tag? Or like what, why would you?
I haven't tried the e-toll tag through the windscreen, but my, you know, so when you want to get into complexes and stuff, sometimes you've got RFID tags stuck to the window. Yeah. And it won't work through that windscreen.
Hmm.
Anyway, we're out of time, squarely out of time. So let's get our expert journalist, Chad Lakoff, into the show virtually to review the 2021 Volvo XC40. Is it as good as the original?
I hope so.
Chad Lakoff on screen and our expert journalist who, you know, where did we find Chad years ago?
I have no idea.
You weren't here. Yes, you. Chad found us. Tell us the story, Chad. How did you end up at Auto Trader? Like, where were you before?
I was with an aftermarket performance magazine.
Oh, yes, I remember.
I was there for several years in that, and when my position was made redundant, then I came knocking on the doors.
Yes, I remember. Chad found us, but we were suitably impressed. We were glad Chad found us, as a matter of fact.
I think it was just the timing was just spot on. I needed something, and we were ramping up with our content strategy and our video production strategy, and I think it was just the timing was just spot on.
Yeah. I would argue that Chad is one of South Africa's top
hands down.
Video journalists, car video journalists. I would argue so.
Chad, you guys are too kind.
Yeah, don't get the screen's only so wide, eh? Okay, so we're not here to talk about Chad's history. We're here to talk about the Volvo 2021 Volvo XC40. Now, I love Volvo, and one of the things that has impressed me about Volvo is their driver assistance. Stuff, for lack of a better word. You know, that's the thing that impresses me about the Volvo the most, because I think they were, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, I think they were kind of one of the first to really use many, many driver assistance pieces of technology, software, hardware, etc.
Amongst the first, yes. Volvo as a whole has been pioneers. We know that for them for pioneering the 3-point retractable seat belt, and of course they did that without putting a patent on it, so that everybody else in the world could benefit from the technology and the development, which
what a good company,
just showed that they were actually there genuinely for the people. Mercedes-Benz did a lot of the autonomy in the early days.
But did they do it as well as Volvo? Did they do it as well as Volvo ended up doing it?
My recollection of that history is a little sketchy. I think Volvo were later adopters of it, possibly second or third adopters of that type of thing. But, these fantastic video clips of Mercedes-Benz getting it wrong with their auto braking and the likes.
Yeah.
So I think they were one of the first to sort of start polishing it and getting it out into more consumer level vehicles rather than just like the high end S classes and the likes.
Yeah. Yes, that's probably why it was so well known, is because Mercedes put it into the high end cars, whereas Volvo literally put it into
it was accessible.
Cars. Yeah, it was accessible. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Volvo's been touted or had the reputation of being the safest car in the world until Tesla, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Statistically speaking, that's been the case. And I think something to what you were talking about now, I think one thing that Mercedes did was it was more driver aids for pleasure or for leisure, whereas Volvo, it was for safety. For safety. So it was safety aids.
Driver aids for convenience and comfort, I suppose, is what you mean, versus Volvo being for safety reasons.
Exactly.
So, Chad, the XC40. I mean, I love the XC90, won Car of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. XC60 was in the runnings at one point as well. XC40, I don't think, has ever been a contender, but still, if it's a baby version of the XC90, I'm pretty sure you're going to tell us that you were suitably impressed. What are your driving impressions of this car?
All very much along the similar lines as the XC90, XC60, they've got this recipe that they work with, and it works really well. And they just sort of throw it in the copy machine and just sort of scale it down.
Love it.
Yeah.
And yeah, until it's at about like 60%, and they say, okay, great, that's the XC40.
So besides size, what's not in this XC40 that's in the XC90?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely space. There's considerably more power output from the XC90, but it's carting a lot more weight.
Yeah.
The XC40 still has an extremely high array of safety systems and convenience features. That means that you don't really need to worry too much. It's one of those things that Volvo ensures that they inject into virtually each and every model, whether it's an entry level or, you know, the high end XC90 or S90 sedan.
So they don't stuff around with
some of the earlier models. Some of the lower models won't have like the full complement, but they will definitely have the core basics, which still, you know, by general car standards, is a lot higher than some other vehicles, especially when you compare apples for apples, entry level versus entry level.
So, what was your impression of this car? Suitably impressed, or were there things that fell short?
I've always enjoyed the Volvo XC40. Of course, this is just a model introduction into the range. It's not a full new range. It's not a facelift, anything of the sorts. What they've done is they had the T3 and the T5, so 1.5-liter engine and a 2-liter engine, high-power 2-liter engine. And they've introduced the T4 now as a bit of a middle child. So it's got the 2-liter engine, but it doesn't make as much power. It only makes 140 kilowatts, 300 newton meters. As opposed to the 185 and 350 newtons of the T5. So it's one of those vehicles that it's a bit of a polyfiller vehicle, just sort of bolstering their range. They obviously saw that there was a little bit of a gap for a little more power, and that certain models from their competitors were selling, you know, respectably well, and that they wanted to capitalize on that segment of the market. I do enjoy driving it. I find it, while it's got, George, I love vehicles that have got character, and I despise those that don't. So if you had to sit there and say, I'm going to lambast them for it, but something like an Audi for me just lacks character.
I thought you were going to mention the BMW X6.
No, BMWs. BMWs always.
But carry on.
No, one day I can't agree with you there either.
For another episode.
The Volvo has a character, but it's not a character that I'm overly fond of. I don't mind it, but it's not one of those sort of characters that attracts me. I like certain aspects of it, but would I put one in my driveway? I could, but I think that my money would probably be better spent elsewhere.
And when you talk about Elsewhere, where is Elsewhere? What are the competitors for the XC40?
So the competitors for the XC40 are the BMW X1.
X1, no, not the X3.
No, X1.
So this is considerably smaller than... Then
this is a crossover, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now, I mean, the pictures in my head are different for this car, slightly different because you just compared it to the X1.
That's one of the things. One thinks it as being a rather large vehicle because it has the design and the proportions of the XC90, which we know to be a large or at least a mid-size SUV.
Well, even the 60 is large, on the global standing.
60 is, believe it or not, is also listed as a crossover. You know, it's like a compact SUV crossover. Whereas the XC40 is deemed to be a crossover. You know, it's based on a small hatchback, or at least the proportions of a small hatchback. And it's got the same sort of design and proportions as the XC90. So when you look at it, you think, okay, well, this is a fairly large car. And then you get up to it and you realize, wait, you're actually pretty small.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, pictures make it look big.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. Yeah,
that's true. So, who would be kind of wanting to buy this vehicle? Who's Volvo sort of targeting here? If I'm in the market, what sort of consumer would be looking for this?
Sensible money. Somebody that is definitely prioritizing safety over outright power. We mentioned earlier before the show started about the P8, and my apologies there. They're labeling it the twin, which has always been for their twin engine arrangement, which has been a hybrid, but the P8 twin is a twin electric motor, full battery electric, and that one's rather pricey, but this would definitely be for the sensible individual, somebody that likes the Scandinavian approach to design and execution. It really is a stylish vehicle. It's probably going to be about the safety. I really can't sing the praises of a Volvo XC40 safety anymore, any higher.
Well, it looks like the XC40 won that. What's wrong with my words today? It's like the fell out.
You can try it many times.
It's like you weren't here just now, Jay, but I was like fumbling over my words, like you can't believe. But anyway, the XC40 won the 2018 European Car of the Year. You see. What's wrong with me?
One more time.
XC40 won the 2018 European Car of the Year.
Yeah, there's certainly the European mindset is a little different to the South African one. South Africa is very brand biased, badge orientated. And as such, you know, we gravitate towards the status brands. And it's not to say that Volvo can't compete with them. In fact, it competes with them directly and head to head. There's just not the same status and they're not the same presence of the mark available locally. And that tends to sort of push the South African customer away. I really suggest that if they are in the market for something like a Q3, an X1, a Mini Countryman, even Lexus UX plays in that field, go and drive the Volvo. Give it a bit of a chance. I think it's the lack of dealer footprint, which isn't bad, but it's just not as extensive as the likes of Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz GLA is in there as well. So it really is. It's small entry level. Go and test drive it. Go and see what it's about because you may be pleasantly surprised. They do it in a rather different way. They're not as quirky as, let's say, Peugeot or Citroen, but the execution is fantastic and the build quality is phenomenal.
So, I mean, Volvo and you know we're getting to the end of the segment, but Volvo, it's a Swedish company. So, you know, when I think Swedish company, I think Swiss watches. I'm looking at Wendy's watch, which is a fossil.
It's a fossil, yeah.
Not sure if that's made in Switzerland, but you think when you think Swedish product, you think Swiss, you think the Swiss knife, you think quality, you know,
very for the purpose and
yes,
very refined.
But then reading about Volvo, it was actually a bus and truck manufacturer first before it was a car manufacturer. So now you think, okay, rugged, and now they produce X40, 60, and 90. Now you can see where the
same with a lot of manufacturers, really. Tata used to make trains.
That's interesting.
Yeah, BMW did planes, so Rolls Royce as well.
Yeah, yeah. So very interesting. So Chad, very lastly, your score out of 10 for the Volvo XC40 2021.
It doesn't particularly fall short, but just that lack of real desirability and appeal means that I'm going to score it an 8.
An 8's not a bad score, actually.
Not by my standards, no.
No, that's actually a pretty good score. I mean, really the only
cars. It is a very good vehicle.
The only cars that have beaten it are the Toyota Hilux, the Mercedes-Benz AMG A-Class, the Land Rover Defender, and the Suzuki Vitara. Those are the only cars that have beaten an 8. It seems to sit with, you know, we can't, you know, choose. Are there any other crossover type vehicles in the 8s?
Tiguan, would the Tiguan count as a competitor? Not really.
Yeah,
Tiguan is a little larger, I believe. I think this is going to be a more along the lines of T-Roc.
Okay. Size. Okay.
But it's the VW isn't positioning those models now at the same sort of premium clientele, so there's a rather large price and equipment difference between the two of them.
Speaking of price, what is the price of this?
We're looking at just shy of 730,000 Rand for the R design model, which is the top of the range. Of course, you can get them in Momentum, Inscription, and R design. Our test model was an R design at 728,700.
Very interesting. Well, thanks very much, Chad Lakoff. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, our expert journalist, Chad Lakoff. If you want to go and view Chad's other reviews, have a look at Chad's other reviews on our platform, autotrader.co.za. Go to the news and review section, and you will see everything that Chad has an opinion on. And as I mentioned earlier on, I think he's one of South Africa's top motoring journalists. Great. So go and have a look, and then make up your own mind. Chad has an opinion. Throw your opinion into that, our opinion into that, and then you can decide for yourself. Do you want to drive a Volvo XC40? I love them. Never owned one, but have driven a few. So thank you very much, Chad, and we'll see you next time.
Lovely. Thank you very much, guys. You guys have a great show.
All right. Well, that was Chad Lakoff, our expert journalist, reviewing the Volvo XC40 2021. What do you think, Wandy?
It's what, 750,000? If you go the full million, you could get the P8 Recharge, the fully electric version. So that's my only issue with this car. I absolutely love it. I think it's stunning, and I think 8, you know, is right for it. But if you do have that money, why not just go all the way and get the fully electric and be, you know, off the grid completely?
You know I'm not going to disagree with that, right?
I was baiting you to say yes. You're right, Wandy.
Absolutely. So at 300 kilowatts of power in the 0-100 in 4.9 seconds. Who would not want the Volvo P8 XC40? Beautiful car. Anyway, yeah. But that was the XC40 2021 ICE edition. Mm-hmm. And now everyday people send Autotrader motoring related questions, all things car buying and selling. And Wendy and I will now attempt to answer three of the burning questions from our Ask Autotrader platform. What's the first question, Wendy?
First question comes from Titina, who's asked, I have car scraps of a Hyundai Elantra 2007. With an undamaged engine, and I want to sell it. How much could I get for it? So this was a written off 2007 Elantra, but they just want to sell off the parts.
Well, Titina, if you want to sell the entire vehicle, you're not going to get very much for it. Mm. Nobody's going to pay you for the entire vehicle. Your best bet is to dismantle it and sell the parts individually. You're going to get the best value for the parts in that way. Can't tell you what that will be. It depends on what's damaged and what's not, and you're going to have to be like, scrapyards do, because that's why scrapyards are in business. They'll buy an entire wreck, which they won't pay very much for. Yeah. They'll dismantle it, and then they'll sell the parts individually. So that's your best bet, Tatina. Next question.
Next question is from Linda, who's asked, can I use a computer box from a Ford Focus 2-liter petrol on my new Ford diesel 2-liter? So it's same sort of engine capacity, but one's petrol, one's diesel.
Hell to the no, Lindo. No, you can't. Okay. Diesel TDCI versus a Focus 2-liter petrol. Very different things that the computer is telling the engine to do. A very different engine mapping. For instance, the Ford Focus 2-liter petrol will have fuel injectors. Okay. Yeah. The Ford Focus TDCI will have glow plugs.
Okay.
Okay, there's a very big difference between spark plugs, should I say, on the Focus 2-liter and glow plugs on the TDCI. And you can't take a engine mapping for a glow plug, as an example, and tell a spark plug what to do.
You remap the computer to work on...
Remember, these things have code inside. Somebody's written the code. So, if you know how to recode, maybe you could. But then you've got to break it. You've got to break into it. You've got to get to the source code of the computer box.
It's too much work.
Just buy a Ford Focus 2-liter computer box.
Yeah.
Or should I say Ford Focus TDCi computer box. So the answer is, unfortunately, you can't, Lindo. Next question.
Noted. Next on the last questions from DG, who's asked, what is this 15-inch wheel for?
Well, you sent me this picture, Wendy, and this is like a cryptic thing, and I think it's going to be like, which wheel, which where does this come from? And
pin the wheel on the car.
I mean, we'll put this on social media, but this looks, for me, it looks like a trailer wheel.
Yeah.
Maybe a caravan wheel.
Yeah. Something really small.
It's going to haunt me. Well, it's 15 inches, so it's big.
Okay.
But it's, I mean, got those... It's got five studs.
Mm, but so... they look like really small studs, though.
No. I think it's deceptive.
Yeah?
I think it's deceptive. It's got five studs.
This is a riddle.
It's a riddle, and I don't know.
Maybe the people on social media will be able to.
But this is like sending, sending us a picture of your hand and asking us which human the hand belongs to. This is a needle in a haystack.
Yeah. I'm sure someone will be able to locate it, though.
Well, let's put it on social media. See if we'll ask the team to put it on social media. See if anybody knows where this wheel belongs, and then we'll post an answer for you, DG. Don't know, but. That's the end of the show, Wendy. When's Hamilton driving again?
This weekend.
Which track is it? Turkey.
Yeah.
Lovely. All right. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Really nice to have been in the studio with you again, Wendy. And we will see you next time.
Sounds good.